Welcome to the Georgia Bulldogs Podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Stay tuned for a special bonus episode of this week's podcast.
I'll open with the excitement around the signing class started probably well before this day last year, and I don't think a lot of people really understand what goes into a signing class, because most of these kids that signed 2 to 3 years ago is the first time we met them, and it's a long, tough process, and it's a great day for these guys. Kind of anticlimactic now with the early signing period. I like to think of the early signing period as 70 to 80% of what you sign, and then this late signing period is more of an adjustment to what maybe you lost, or what you lost to early outs, or where you think you have holes at. So we feel like we've been able to fill a lot of those holes. We feel like we have a very balanced class across the board, probably a little bit more out of state than it's been in past. Also probably a little less linebacker heavy. Those are the two areas that, as far as outside linebacker and inside linebacker, that we probably didn't feel like we had to have as much immediate help. And those will be huge opportunities for kids in the next signing class that want to play outside linebacker and inside linebacker, because now we do have holes to fill. One of the biggest areas was offensive line. With the guys we had leaving early and the transfers we've had, seniors, we knew and anticipated this being a large offensive line class, and been very pleased with the transition from Coach Pittman to Coach Luke in being able to recruit these kids and bring them to our place. And they want to compete and play at a high level. So the offensive line unit, I'm really proud of that. I also want to take this time to thank everyone in our organization. I'm talking about administration. I'm talking about fans that helped bring this signing class. The Notre Dame atmosphere was one of the keys to this signing class. The academic people at the University of Georgia who sacrificed their Saturdays and their Sundays and their countless hours. I don't think people really understand that recruiting never sleeps. I mean, everybody's fired up today and they're thinking that you're going to, you know, get to relax. 2021, we've already had two or three junior days. We've already had prospects come in. We're doing phone calls with these kids. It's already begun. But this group really goes back to the sacrifices that everybody made to give their time, and it really takes a team effort. When you've got kids coming from Texas and California and all over the country, people have to sacrifice their time to give you an opportunity to sign players like this. But we got really 7 mid-year guys in who are here working with us now. I've been excited to see those guys work. They've done a tremendous job. To have guys that are at defensive back, I feel like we got a very complete defensive back class. I'll always reiterate, I think you have to sign 4 to 5 defensive backs a year in order to stay where you need to stay from a depth standpoint. We were very unique last year. We're one of the only teams in the country to play over 37 players, 100 snaps or more on the defensive side of the ball. So a lot of players are playing. We need a lot of depth on that side of the ball. Wide receiver was an area that we had to address. I'm excited about the wide receivers we've been able to make an addition to this signing class, and those guys are expected to help us. With Justin being here now and also went through a couple bowl practices with us, it's been a big addition to get those guys. Getting a second back in this class was key for us. We're excited about the young man we've had. We've known about him for a long time. He's come up to a lot of camps. He plays in what's probably one of the toughest divisions and regions in our total state, and he's played at a high level. And you talk about the people he's had to play against, he's been a really good player, talking about Dejon Edwards. And then obviously Kendall joining us mid-year has been a big addition too. So I'm really excited about this class from an academic character standpoint, which to me matters as much as anything. But this class will be judged based on how they finish, not where they rank right now, which is not of any concern of ours. So with that, I'll open it up for questions.
Coach, I just wanted you to talk about the job that Coach Luke did to kind of keep that offensive line class intact after Coach Pittman left. Really only lost that, what looked to be just that one kid, and but you got Robert Jones and Cedric today.
Yeah, we're excited about the offensive line class. First of all, it ranges from large and wide to a little bit lighter and more athletic, and these guys will have to develop. You know, I've always said the offensive line position is probably the toughest to come in and play right away if you just ranked all the positions on a board. Andrew was very unique to be able to do that, but that's very rare to be able to do that at that position. So these guys will have to come in, develop, lift, work. What's going to be unique for us is a lot of these guys may be littered across the two deep, but just because our numbers are really down at the offensive line. So these guys will get an opportunity to come in and compete and start, but they'll also be going against some guys this spring that are going to get better and grow. And Coach Luke was a big part of that energy. You know, getting him on staff fast was probably one of the critical roles to that transition, that it wasn't a long time and a process where they had to sit in the unknown. You know, 2 days after, 3 days after Coach Pittman left, these kids had somebody new to meet, and getting to meet them before the middle dead period, the Christmas dead period, was critical so that he could communicate with them throughout that period and keep a relationship. And he's got a lot of energy. He's been a blessing for us and an addition that helps me from a head coach standpoint. So it did help a lot with the offensive line.
And then in terms of a guy who y'all signed in between early period of today, Jamie Newman off of the graduate transfer market, what kind of went into adding him, and what do y'all see in him? Would y'all kind of evaluate what he brings?
Well, you know, we had researched the entire year with the thought that Jake would have the opportunity to come out early, so we had a pool of 30 to 40 guys that we thought would be potential, whether they were transfers, whether they were grad transfers, whatever it may be. We knew we could possibly be in the quarterback market, and that included high school kids. And certainly excited about Carson and what he can do for our team. And he came in and got to practice with us for the bowl game for a couple practices as well. But once Jamie went into the portal and we knew he was going to be a graduate transfer, we started communication immediately, and it was a process of finding out if what he wanted aligned with what we wanted, and also waiting to see what Jake was going to do. So I know Jamie has been very mature about the process. He is, you know, these grad transfers, number one, the fact they graduated college, then graduated from Wake Forest, these kids understand what they want, and they're very driven in what they want. They're not really into the whole recruiting process. So he handled it that way, and he's very, very professional about it, and we're looking forward to putting him to work and letting him go out and compete this spring.
Do you think the consistency of stacking these high-level recruiting classes, at least according to the rankings nationally, year after year, does it put you in a unique position to break through before you guys achieve the national title?
Do I think this has something to do with it? Absolutely, it has something to do with it. But what that ranking is, or when that happens, or how it plays about, I don't think that necessarily correlates. I think that you having a complete staff, keeping your staff in contact, in keeping them together, and also being able to do it year after year, is a level of consistency and a level of support that you're getting internally to make sure that we can do the things we can do. It's hard to go out and recruit at a high level year in and year out because so many people recruit against you based on who you signed. You better have a good product to sell, which academically we do. There's not going to be a separation between 1 through 10 in these recruiting rankings that really matters. What matters is when they leave. Number one, how many of them are present? How many of them graduated? How many of them lives did you change? And they're not going to be judged just on wins and losses. They're going to be judged on what kind of people are they when they leave your program, because that's going to allow you to recruit the next kid. You know, when Nick Chubb and Sony Michelle leave your program and do great things, that's what's going to sell to the next kid that wants an opportunity to come in and do those same things.
Well, with Andrew Thomas and Isaiah Wilson both going off to the NFL early, how important was it for you guys to make sure that you retain the commitment of Jones?
Well, it was a lot more important a year ago to sign Xavier Truss. It was a lot more important the year ago to sign Warren McClendon, because when you have Andrew Thomas and Isaiah Wilson, you understand there's an opportunity for these guys to leave. I'm not a big believer that the next guy's just going to walk in and play for Andrew Thomas and Isaiah. You have to plan things a year out. So really, we're looking at this saying, okay, these guys are going to have to be ready to play possibly next year, but really the next year. And the same thing at defensive back. You know, we got a lot of defensive backs coming back this season. Got a lot of them, some good football players. But we're a year away from what could look like the O-line, because we have some potential guys that come out. So what are you doing to develop the ones you're signing now is more my concern. You know, it'd be foolish for me to sit here and think that two of these tackles we just signed are going to walk in here and play. You guys will print that, but I'm also realist that that's probably not going to happen. Based on the history of the SEC, you do the study how many freshman offensive tackles I've played. That's tough to find. You know what I mean? It's hard to do. Now, if they're the athletic and they're the best guys or we have injuries, those guys will provide us great depth. And I certainly think a lot of these guys we just signed are talented enough to come in and help us. But they're not mid-year guys, and they'll have to come in and compete for it.
Coach, can you talk about just the recruitment of Cameron Kinney and also on the flip side, the offensive line? It looks like the offense has gone through some sort of transition. Will there be a different size guys or a different type of recruit that Matt Luke likes on that offensive line?
No, there's no criteria. We signed based on who gives us the best opportunity to be successful. Number one, what kind of person are they? How are they academically? How are they athletically? How many positions can they play? No, there's no size criteria, big or small, that we're necessarily trying to change to. That's not the case. I mean, you got to be able to pass pro, you got to be able to run block, and it's not like a philosophical difference there. Cameron Kinney was a kid that we targeted and felt like was, number one, extremely high character, was extremely high academic, really good athlete, played both ways, played at the highest level of football where he played, and we're fortunate to get him to sign with us, and we're excited about him. I think he's a guy that's going to be he's a program player in that he's always going to be doing the right things on and off the field, and he plays at a high level of multiple positions. I mean, this guy played 4-I, played 3 technique, he played center, got a lot of respect for the program he comes from and what he can provide to our depth on the offensive line.
Coach, by all accounts, it's going to be one of the top classes in the country this year. You did that amid some pretty major changes on offense. Can you talk a little bit about the changes that you made on your offensive staff with Todd Monken and if his presence contributed to some of his success?
Yeah, we're excited about what Todd brings to us. But as far as the recruiting process, you know, he got involved in most of these late. Most of the work had been done on a lot of these guys. And you think about it, the wideouts, I think every one of them signed early. So that was not a major factor in this recruiting class. But I am excited about this class, and I think that these guys are going to have an opportunity to grow and play at our place, and I'm excited to see what they can do.
Kirby, between the change of quarterback and change of coordinator, how different do you think Georgia's offense will look?
I don't know the answer to that. I think the roles on our 2020 staff still aren't complete with our extra assistant coach spot open. I think that will develop and play out as we go along. I'm certainly excited. I know that the kids are excited for an opportunity, and, you know, we'll have to see where that goes. I can't honestly say that right now. I think everybody wants to hear some grand speech of opening this up and doing that. That's not necessarily what you need is to be productive offensively, score points, and do the explosive plays, which we've talked about consistently.
Did you cross paths with Coach Monken during your career, and what was it about him that
Well, I steer you back to we really want this to be about our signing class. But, yeah, Coach Monken and I crossed paths at LSU. He came in with Les Miles' staff, and I was there for, I don't know, a month, 3 or 4 weeks before I came here. So we were briefly on the same staff. We crossed paths throughout time, speaking engagements, recruiting on the road, the Southern Miss job, a lot of interaction those different ways. But, yes.
Coach, looking forward to what are your plans for special teams? Will you have a replacement for Fountain, or will it be shared amongst all the coaches?
Yeah, like I just mentioned, you know, the 2020 staff roles have not been completely defined yet. We still have a staff spot available, and really all options are still open on that.
You mentioned the high number of out-of-state guys in this class specifically. What caused the number to be higher than, say, 3 or 4 years ago in terms of out-of-state kids?
Yeah, twofold there. Probably, number one, we had more interest from out-of-state kids. So we had some national interest from players that came to camp and really performed well that in the past we might have lost out on. We might have been second or third on a national kid that was a really good player, say a Darnell, say a Kendall, say a Keeley. But we won a lot of those. The other part is we lost some in-state battles that were really, really good players. And so I think the two of those merged to just kind of happen at unique positions where – hey, we'd have taken the in-state guy or we'd have taken the out-of-state guy. It just so happened we got the out-of-state guy. But we're excited for those players. And, You know, there's been a lot of good out-of-state players play here at the University of Georgia. There's no limitation to your borders. But we certainly respect and understand how good our state is and what the high school coaches do in the state.
Two more questions?
This might be more of a bigger picture question. But as you try to tie a bow on when this offseason has been at this point with the signing class, with the changes, with everything that's going on, is this kind of, has this been unique at all for you as a coach, or is this something that you deal with every offseason with so much change up and down?
I don't think it's been, like, to me, last year with both coordinators going was much greater than this offseason. I mean, it wasn't, we're still in the offseason, so all the changes aren't done yet, and so it's like, it's part of the process, and I think you being able to reinvent yourself, reinvent your program, and also develop the players in it is what's going to make you set apart, make you different. So, I mean, we're not completely done yet. This class doesn't completely wrap it up. There's still moves to be made for us from a hiring standpoint, moving people around, so it's not a, it's a work in progress. It's constant improvement, constant growth. That's what we're trying to do, but no, it has not been, you know, I think winning the Sugar Bowl was a big bonus and helped kind of kickstart us into the second part of the recruiting season.
You mentioned the number of high character guys you signed in this class. When you and your staff are deciding how heavily to recruit a player, how much do discipline concerns or character, or potential character concerns sort of factor into the recruitment of a player?
More every year, more each and every year. Like, it should never be the only thing, but it's definitely the most important thing. And the older I get, the more wiser I get, and the more you realize that chasing guys that don't believe in the same principles and values of your university and of your program, they're just not worth it. I mean, there's too much time spent on guys that if you're having to chase them around, it's just not worth it. I mean, take the guys that want to be there. You go play with the guys that want to be there. And number one, you'll enjoy your job day to day. Your staff will enjoy it more, but so will the other players. So it's very important to us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Darryl.
Thanks for listening to the Georgia Bulldogs podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Make sure you comment, subscribe, and rate this programming to continue to receive the best in Bulldogs content. Go Dawgs!